Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin, of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession. Good to have you with us here today for our Congregation of Prayer, Guide for Daily Meditation and Prayer Around God's Word. I see children are jumping on. Most of them look to be here, although a few more will join us, I'm sure, in a minute. We continue our catechesis. We pick up where we left off last Friday. Remember, the children were out Monday and Tuesday. And so while we had congregation in prayer, we didn't do our continuous readings. Now we'll resume with 2 Kings chapter 2. So you remember last week we had Elijah confronting Ahab, and that was the kind of the culminating act of Elijah. And then we'll hear the transition of authority here. Okay. And let's see, anything else we need to note? I don't think so at this time. All right. So let's put the devotion up and say it with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, let's say our memory verse together. I put it up at the top there. All right, say it with me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Say it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Our psalm this week is Psalm 132, and let's pray it together. You say it with me, if you're able. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord, and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath, from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All right. So, very important teaching here. And it's something that's, I would say, controversial, because often the church collectively, say a congregation or pastor and members, see their role as judging the world, right, and telling the world where they've gone wrong. And that is certainly part of our role, but we do so in order to convict or indict the consciences of those in our midst, all right? So when the pastor speaks about the corruption of the world, it's to not accuse and condemn those outside, because they're already accused and condemned and will be judged by God on the last day. But it's rather to show how we, in our own heart, because we live in this world and we can't be taken out of it until either our death or the resurrection, that our own hearts desire after the things that the world has been given over to, all right, by God. So, for example, I mean, he lists many examples here, but he's dealing with a particular pastoral care issue within the Church of Corinth, the sexual immorality within that congregation, which we talked about last Friday, all right? And the reason why the pastor judges and congregation brings accusation and judgment against immorality, going against God's word, against sin within the congregation, is because the congregation knows better, you see? The congregation has God's word. The congregation knows the Ten Commandments, for example, and it's for the sake of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. So you'll note that the reason why it is impossible for a Christian congregation to remain long as it tolerates, accepts, even encourages the kind of behavior you see here in verse 9 and 10, all the sexual immorality, and then the thievery and covetousness and drunkards, revilers, extortioners, that can't be accepted within the Christian congregation, because that's sin that's not being called to repentance, right? And you notice that's exactly what Paul does here in verse 11, the last verse that we read, is there's this great deal of sin, and he spent the last couple chapters indicting them in a letter of their own sin. Not the sin, it's sinfulness that the world has, of course, but it's that same sinfulness that has been brought into the Christian congregation and accepted, tolerated, even encouraged, all right? And so he's saying, that's how you used to be of the world, but now you're of Christ. You've been baptized, right? You've been washed. You've been sanctified. That is made holy by the Holy Spirit and justified, forgiven freely for the sake of Jesus Christ, right? So live in that forgiveness. And with the forgiveness of sins then comes, by the Spirit's working, amendment of life, that we no longer are of the world, simply in the world, all right? So again, controversial, because I think most people don't have any problem with the pastor railing against everything happening outside the four walls. But what causes the most consternation in a Christian congregation is when your pastor preaches or teaches against the sin that we actually commit, which makes us like the world, all right, the corrupt, and those outside of Christ Jesus, all right? So there you go. Continuing along, our catechesis today will be from 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, or stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And so he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. The 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took up his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And so he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. All right. So one of the things with Elijah that we need to mention before he departs here, because this is the end of the line for Elijah with us, is that he is a culminating figure of many of the people that come before him in the Old Testament. So there's many things that sound familiar that we've seen before from other prophets. And also he is ultimately pointing forward to, in different ways, to both John the Baptist and also then to Jesus, right? John being the last prophet and Jesus being ultimately all the role of the prophets fulfilled in one person, along with the priests and the kings, right? Okay. So you'll see echoes forward and backward with Elijah. Speaking of, you'll note here, Gilgal is mentioned, and maybe you remember, this was a long time ago, it was probably back in the summer, we talked about what happened in the history of Israel at Gilgal. That's a deep cut. Only, the adults among us that were watching this summer probably remember what happened at Gilgal. It was early in the summer, I think. Well, it was this. Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way, meaning on the Exodus. And so it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. All right, so the name Gilgal, it means, I think, something having to do with the rolling away of the reproaches. Yeah, let's see. I rolled away the reproach, Gilgal. And we saw it back in Joshua 4, verse 19. Yeah, but it doesn't, I don't have it defined here. All right. Rolled away the reproach. All right. So it was a sign of promise. It was a place of promise made. And what did Elijah there tell Elisha? Stay here, right? You see that? For the Lord has called me on to Bethel, or Beit-El, if you prefer. Now, Bethel, this is an important place as well. So all these cities are named for a reason, right? So we had the circumcision at Gilgal. Now we have Bethel. That's where Jacob saw his vision of the Lord ascending and descending upon the ladder, all right? And that was Beit El means house of God. Beit is house, El, God. All right. Who came out to meet Elisha there at Beit El, or Bethel, as we say? Yeah, we have the sons of the prophets, right? The company of prophets. And what did they say? Yeah, the Lord's taking away Elijah from you, right? Today, your master. Of course, Elisha says, yes, I already know that. Be silent. Right, so then where does Elijah tell Elisha to go? Gotta keep those straight. Now on to Jericho. All right, now what's happening at the history of Israel at Jericho? Yeah, that was the first city that was part of the conquest of the Promised Land. Remember, when they marched around the city walls and it was completely destroyed by the Lord who brought down its walls. All right. And then who came again and told Elisha that his master would be taken away from him? Again, more sons of the prophets, a company of prophets here from Jericho, right? And he, of course, says, be silent again. And now, what did Elijah tell Elisha? Stay here again, right? Three times. Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. All right, now what about Jordan? What important historical event in the history of Israel happened there at the Jordan. We'll see an echo of this in a moment, right? That's where the river was divided and the Israelites then crossed over on dry ground into the Promised Land, right? Of course, now we have to look forward, and this is with both John the Baptist, Elijah who is to come, as Jesus calls him, and also Jesus. Happened at the Jordan and involved water, of course, being a river. Yeah, that was the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, Matthew 3. And of course, the Spirit of God being revealed there. And the Spirit is also here in this text, isn't it? Yeah. Who met them at the Jordan then? Let's see. The two of them stood 50. It says verse 7 here at the top. 50 men of the sons of the prophets stood facing them at a distance, right? So they've collected quite a crowd of prophets, right, who are watching the prophet Elijah and his understudy, if you like, Elisha. Why 50 prophets, do you think? Number 50. I think we've talked about 50 here recently. 50 is associated with the giving of the Holy Spirit. So we just mentioned that with the Jordan, Jesus' baptism, the Spirit descending on him like a dove. But 50, the number 50 with the Spirit. Well, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Spirit would descend upon Jesus's disciples, now apostles, and they would speak the gospel to all the nations, right? And you note that, again, the Spirit is mentioned here because that's exactly what Elisha asked for. Please let a double portion of your Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, be upon me, right? A double portion, extra Spirit. How did Elijah cross the Jordan? Yeah, it's right here. He took off that cope, that mantle, right, and rolled it up and struck the water and was able to cross on dry ground. Why do you think the cloak is important in parting the waters? So think of water, Spirit, and a garment. Aha, yes, this is another picture of baptism, which is to come, Jesus' baptism, where both Jesus and then the apostles speak of being clothed in Christ, right? Just as his clothing was divided and meted out into four parts at the cross for the world, right? So we wear Christ as our clothing as he's been wrapped around us, if you like, in the waters of holy baptism. All right. Of course, there's another event like this where the waters are struck and they're separated. Yeah, divided to the right and the left in the deliverance of the people through the Red Sea. All right. So we said that Elisha asks, Elijah prompts him, ask what you would have for me. And Elisha asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. But what sign then was connected with Elisha's receipt of the gift? Yeah, Elijah says that you'll have to see me taken away from you, if you see me. All right. Now here's another New Testament connection. All right. The disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, just like Elisha saw Elijah ascend into heaven. But right before he ascended, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would come upon them at Pentecost, right? And then they actually say, all right, just like Elisha here receives a double portion, meaning he will do even greater things than Elijah, so also Jesus tells his disciples that they will do even greater things than he had done, which is pretty incredible promise, isn't it? All right. And then what suddenly appeared and separated Elijah and Elisha? Of course, everybody remembers this part, right? And we saw it with the picture there, right? The chariots. And it doesn't really look like it's on fire in that picture. I suppose there's smoke around it. All right. Maybe it's bright and shining, something like that, right? But the chariots, chariot of fire with horses of fire, right? And then there's a whirlwind as he ascends into heaven. Interesting. What does Elisha do when, after he sees this happen? Yeah, he tore his own clothes into two pieces, right? Now, of course, Elijah being assumed into heaven by the chariot and the horsemen, on the horses, there's somebody before him, a prophet before him, who was also taken into heaven. And that was Enoch. That's back in Genesis 5, right? And maybe also there's a hint here of Moses, because remember Moses, when he died, he was buried by God. You can see that in Deuteronomy 34. All right, what's Elisha do with Elijah's cloak? Same thing, right? So a demonstration that he had received Elijah's power as he rolls it up and strikes the water, right? So that he could cross over the Jordan. We've talked a little bit about chariots and horsemen. I don't want to take the time to do it again here, but these are chariots and horsemen are connected as a sign of God's protection of his prophet, and also as a sign of a confident sign of God's victory over death, right? So we have the horsemen on the last day, which is not meant to terrify us, but to give us confidence, right? And then finally, what's Elisha ask in verse 14? Where is the Lord God of Elisha? Why do you think he asked that question? I don't know if it's because of his doubt, or maybe a little bit, but again, right, that he would have confirmation that the Spirit of God was present with him according to the word of Elijah the prophet, right? So God confirms his words of promise with signs, right? Just as he does today, right? Baptism, Lord's Supper, the signs that confirm his word of promise. So Elisha went out to the ascension of Elijah, even as the 11 went out to the ascension of our Lord. They witnessed the ascension and were promised that he would send upon them the Holy Spirit. The route of Elijah reverses the Israelites' entrance into Cana at the time of Joshua and centers our attention upon the event that verified the Lord was with Joshua, the crossing of the Jordan. The Lord had Elisha repeat the event to verify his own authority as a prophet. Significantly, Christ would be anointed at the waters of the Jordan, and heaven would be opened as the voice of the Father proclaimed him to be the prophet to whom we should listen. All right, and speaking of listening, let's confess the third article of the Apostles' Creed. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. All right, let's pray our collect for this week. Say it with me. Almighty God, we implore you, show your mercy to your humble servants, that we who put no trust in our own merits may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. We pray for parents who must rear their children alone. We pray for our communities and neighborhoods. All right. And we've reconnected. Very good. Let us also pray this week for those who celebrate their birthday. Today, Joseph. Also, those who rejoice today in their baptism, Elizabeth and Doug. Pray for the households of our church, Raymond and Suzanne, Ron, Michael, Tanya, Brandon, Don, and Jean. We pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Marcella, Kelsey, Ron, Joel, Amanda, Dan, Timothy, and Janice, Sandy, Ken, Norm and Sandy, Kathy, Jim, Elaine, and Mike. Pray for our homebound, Bev, David, Roy, Willis, Mickey, and Paul. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially the Federowitz family. We pray for victory over the world. And we pray for those grieving, especially the family and friends of Reverend John Herzog. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. All right, sorry for the dropout there, but so it is. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, looks like we have some internet issues. It's coming and going, but so it is. I'll just keep rolling and you can too. Let's sing our hymn for today, or for this week. Oh, how blessed are they.
Lead us forth and cast the world behind.
All right. Sorry for the internet dropouts there. Out of our control. So it's good to have you all with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer. You can come join us again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Promptly. So children, make sure you get here right away. Also, the tonight is Divine Service at 7 p.m. And that we'll be looking at Render Unto Caesar What Is Caesar, all right? Which is a popular saying, but I don't think well understood. So we'll be hearing some preaching on that tonight. All right, so Lord be with you all, keep you safe, and we'll see you either tonight or for sure tomorrow morning.